And we continue today from what we started last week, but we're shifting gears just a little bit to think about forward looking and looking to the future and who and what we wish to keep on doing or what direction we see for the future. Remember I talked last week a little bit about this church at Thessalonica. And despite all their flaws, as Alex has just said, they were a good group of people, a good church, despite some of the really, really not so good things that some people were doing. And I think therein lies a little bit of an understanding of what church can be. Because we are not to judge one another and put each other down or anything, but rather encourage each other, because this passage begins there in verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So, despite the fact that there were imperfect people in that church, yet Paul commended them and told them to continue to encourage each other. And may I just then make a quantum leap and say, I think that's God's message to us at Oak Grove as well. We have a few imperfect people, maybe. Maybe we're all imperfect, aren't we? But we can all have a perfect intent. We can all have a perfect commitment and a unity one with another that we can continue to encourage each other even in our imperfections and even in the great areas where we need to grow and improve and the areas where we are weak. We are here to encourage one another. This last chapter of 1 Thessalonians is interesting because it seems like Paul is all of a sudden saying he has a whole litany of things that he wants to tell these people, and for whatever reason he was ready to wrap the letter up and conclude. And so he throws a whole lot of injunctions into this chapter 5. There's over 20 different things that he said, these are things you're supposed to do. They're quick, staccato-like, and he said, these are the things that I want you to do, and keep on doing them, etc., etc. Verse 12, he says, now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you. It's commonly thought that that is referring to elders. It was probably not just simply, quote, a pastor or a leader, because their structure was very different than ours today. Probably that was a group of elders. And he was saying to the people, respect your leadership. And I want to commend you as a congregation. You have good respect and trust in your leadership. We talked about that last week. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. And in meeting with the elders, I know how we struggle with the concerns of the congregation and the spiritual welfare of the congregation. And they are working hard, and they're not persons who are paid to only do that. We have other jobs, other things we're involved in. But we have good leadership here at Oak Grove, and I'm thankful for that. Then he says, live in peace with each other. Wow, that's kind of difficult to do. He talked about that in Romans 12 as well. And he said, sometimes it's just impossible to have a harmonious relationship. Some people just simply aren't wanting it, but do our best. Live in peace with each other. And then a few other instructions. But I want to lift up this morning, especially verses 16, 17, and 18. Very short and to the point. Listen and see what comes through to you as I read this. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks to God in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Joyful always. Now, folks, I'm still struggling. I'm not sure I know what all that means, because some days I don't particularly feel happy and joyful. And I don't think I'm abnormal, am I? We all have times when life is just simply not a whole, you know, jar of cherries, so to speak. Life is sometimes difficult. It's not very joyful. But he's saying, be joyful always. Many times in counseling also, I tell people, joy is an inside job. Joy has something to do with what comes from inside, not what is outside in. I think if I could say one thing I think that sort of encapsulates my impression as I read this, is that we should take our focus away from looking at our circumstances to give us joy, but rather focus on the joy of the Lord that comes from within us. And then you say to me, as most people say, well, how do I get that joy? Well, you know, I'm not quite sure I have all those answers. I don't have all that figured out yet. I'm still trying to learn. But I do know that if we go to the second injunction, and that is pray continually, I do know that the more I can be in an attitude of prayer, the more I can sense and know God's joy in my heart, regardless of my circumstances. Many people will come back, well, you don't know the people I have to work with. You don't know the people I have to live with. You don't know the neighbors that I have to live among. Well, you know, we're always going to have people in our lives that are challenging. But what about if we pray continually? That doesn't mean that we get down on our knees. It's impossible sitting down on our knees and hands folded and praying. That's a totally different concept of prayer. In fact, I would urge us to get past the idea that prayer is that 10 minutes that we take, or 5, or 20, or 30, or whatever it is, and that we focus our mind totally, strictly on God. It's important that we do that. But prayer, I suggest, is more of an attitude that says, I am continually hearing from God, and I'm trying to see God in my circumstance that I'm in. Maybe prayer is just simply saying, noticing where God is in my life, and trying to put myself in a place where I can experience God. Prayer doesn't have to be words, you know. Prayer is an attitude of the heart and the mind. Prayer is that attitude that says, God, you're everything to me. Like, thanks for leading us in the Lord, how I need you. I need you every hour. I thought about that as we sang. It goes right along with what I'm thinking about with prayer. Do we sense every hour, I need you, God, in this circumstance? But you know what happens? Many times when things are going well for us, we get the idea, I can do this. This is going pretty good. I can do this myself. Now, we may not say that to ourselves, but that's kind of the attitude, and we sort of forget God. Now, isn't it true? When things are going well for us, and we seem to have everything under control, and things are going well, and everything is fine, is when we forget about God, right? And then all of a sudden something happens, something difficult, or we have some adversity in our life, and then we start going, oh God, where are you? Why did you let this happen? Well, you know, maybe it was just the result of our own choices that this happened. I don't know, whatever it was. He says, pray continually. That's a challenge. But anyways, I would like to leave you this morning with the idea that prayer can just simply be as much or as little as just simply knowing that I need God in every circumstance, every minute of every day. In whatever I'm doing, I need God. I want to find where God is at work in my life, and I want to be a part of that. And then the last one is give thanks in all circumstances. Gulp. I don't know about y'all, but if anyone has that figured out, please come and talk to me. Give thanks in all circumstances. That doesn't just say when you feel thankful. When you see something good and wonderful and beautiful, give thanks to God. Well, that's true. You know, when I'm sitting on the edge of the Grand Canyon, dear Lord, I love sitting on the edge of the Grand Canyon. And it's easy to give thanks then. It's not so easy to give thanks when our basements are full of water. It's not so easy to give thanks when we're losing our jobs. It's not so easy to give thanks when we've just heard that we have cancer. That's tough. That's tough. Give thanks in all circumstances. And I would suggest the more we can see that our whole lives are expressions of prayer, and that our daily walk is to be with God and to be close to God and to see God and feel God in every circumstance, even in the difficult times when adversities happen, when all kinds of things are happening, then we can still say, thank you, God, that you are God. And you remember what I said back in January? Maybe you've forgotten this by now, but anyways, remember I said I learned this down on the beaches of Daytona Beach when it says, I am content knowing I'm in God's care and He is in control, even in the difficult circumstances. And when we can remember that, then we can start sort of sensing that thankfulness that comes from within, that says, God, I know you're walking with me in every circumstance, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how adversarial it is, no matter how much it's going to cost me, and you get this house all fixed up again, et cetera, et cetera. All the things, and it's not only just us here in West Liberty, it's these hundreds of people down in Dayton. Dear God, what a mess that is. And what an opportunity that we have to share with them, as Sam was telling us last week, and the challenge that is here for us, not only in our community but elsewhere, to respond and to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community. I just want to put just a little insert here and say, folks, we talk. And I know we all want to be missional, whatever missional means. We talk about it, but God has given us a prime opportunity right now, right on our doorsteps, to be missional in our community. Amen? And that can take on many different forms as we are the hands and the feet of Jesus. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm supposed to be talking this morning about my listening report. I just about got carried away with preaching there. But anyway. And again, we will be following the same kind of things we did last week. In our Sunday school classes, we'll be talking about this and say, did I hear you correctly? Or have I misheard you? What have I missed? Now, there will be copies of this in your mailboxes at the end of the service, and there will be some extras out there on the table. Take them to your Sunday school class and then talk about them, and we'll get some written feedback from all of this as the elders want to look at this as we consider the direction we are heading in the future. So here we go. Let's jump in. Number one, and I heard this over and over again, probably the most of anything I heard, we wish to be more intentional about integrating new people into our congregation. That, my friends, is a sign of life and health and strength. First of all, that we have the tension that some people are not always feeling included, but we're working on it. Others of us have had a wonderful experience of inclusion, but not everybody has. But you know what? As I said last week, this is a good challenge to have because it means there are new people wanting to come in. And if we were at a point where we felt everybody was in and everybody was included and everybody understood what was going on, folks, hear me, we would be dead as a church. That's a strong statement. If you don't have anyone wanting to come into the life of the fellowship, you're dead, church. Thank God we have people who want to come in and we have the desire to bring people in. That's a healthy tension to have, no matter what our background is. And I made the distinction here that sometimes we confuse welcome with inclusion. Everyone feels welcome here. I don't know of anyone who has said they didn't feel welcome. But there is a difference between being welcomed at the door, being talked to, greeted, say, hi, how are you doing, etc., versus being emotionally included. And that's what we need to keep working on, because everybody is different and everybody experiences the group differently. This is a fundamental dynamic of group dynamics, and that is anytime we bring any new people into the group, it changes the nature of the group. And that's good. Except that sometimes groups get so content being who we are and what we are that we find it difficult to change. That's where we are in trouble. Okay, let's go on. We wish that we could somehow find a way to make church a higher priority for families and lessen cultural influences that keep us so busy and demand so much time, energy, and resources. Now, I guess I would also parenthetically say, once we get that figured out, we will have it. It's almost impossible for us to always win the day in this. I remember growing up, a long time ago, when I was a teenager even, people were complaining, we have too many school activities and too many activities during the week, et cetera, et cetera. People don't have time for church. And that was a culture, believe it or not, in my community, that no school functions were on Wednesday night because Wednesday night was prayer meeting. Yeah, believe it or not. Yeah, it was 50-some years ago. Yeah. To the point that even here a few years ago, our granddaughter had a volleyball kind of a playoff tournament or whatever on Easter Sunday morning. I tell you, that just ripped at me. How in the world could anyone schedule a volleyball tournament on Easter Sunday morning? Folks, we live in a different world. And it's probably going to be an ongoing struggle that we have to somehow find out and carve out time for church, etc. But we need to keep working at it. Well, let's go on. I don't have time to talk more about that. We wish that we could expand our sense of church as family. And many of us do experience church as family. That's important and that's good, but it's important that we have church as family to be a safe setting for all. Now, unfortunately, also, I know from the business I'm in that while families can be places of inclusion and support and healing, families can also be places where people are hurt. And unfortunately, sometimes people are also hurt in the church. Unintentionally, but we're all human. So let's be sure that when we're talking about family, we're talking about healthy practices in a family. We want to be an inviting place for young adults to become involved. We would like to see Oh, here's one that I also heard a lot about, and I'm going to open it up for you for discussion later. We would like to see our seniors, that is 62 years and older. We would like to see our seniors become more connected and cared for in the life of our congregation. We have so much to offer and want to be asked to be involved, heard, used, and valued. I counted up now, and I don't know exactly the numbers because I don't know exactly how old some of you are, but the over 62 age now comprises over 25% of our congregation. Now, we can be fortunate in that it isn't like 70% of our congregation, as is true in many places. But the seniors who are retiring earlier, who have energy, who have resources, who have time, the seniors want to be involved, they want to be contributing, and want to be connected and cared for. They have much to offer the church locally and beyond in acts of service, not just leadership. I would challenge us. I have seen some churches in other settings where the senior ministry or the process of involving seniors in ministry in the church was very active, and that was a vital part of the congregation. And I would possibly just challenge you as a congregation, begin to see the potential of the seniors in our group, because they are a growing group. They're growing in numbers. Don't always want to be involved in leadership. We're happy to pass the leadership on to the younger bunch, but we still want to be involved and to be active and to be serving. Which leads me to my next point. We wish to improve our ways of serving one another in the congregation. Maybe find additional ways of keeping pastoral connection with everyone. For example, the current elder groupings are too large for any one person to adequately do it properly. Or to expand, maybe another option is to expand our Sharpen program. I'm told about that you had a program called Sharpen in which you would ask people to be available to share their skills in doing light things around the house, etc., for people who had needs. Maybe we could do well to sort of reinvigorate that group and get it started again. Finding ways to serve one another is the main emphasis of what I would like to suggest here is, let's work hard at finding ways to improve our serve to one another. We wish to improve our reaching out to our community, to bring Jesus to our neighbors, to do more than just talk missional, but to find more ways of doing it and involve more people in it. And obviously, all of this was collected, all of my information before the flood and before all the recent things of recent weeks. So I want to thank you as a congregation. I say it again, we as a congregation are responding to this challenge. Keep it up, because this is making an impact in our community, and it is being missional. Sometimes we struggle about that word missional, and I grant you it's not a perfect word. In fact, it's not even a word that's in the dictionary as such. It's a concept. It's a concept of getting out of the church walls. The church is more than just about an hour or two on Sunday morning or a few other hours during the week. But church is about every day, 24/7, living in our community. We definitely want to keep our sound evangelical, biblical, theological roots, but have concerns about how we can maintain our own integrity with MCUSA seeming to be going in a different direction theologically. I talked about this some last week, and I would just simply say that's a concern that we will have for the future. But the one thing I also want you to hear me say today is we feel quite positive about strengthening our connection with Ohio Conference. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that Pastor Dick is now involved with leadership in the conference. And I want to say to you, from my own knowledge of the conference, Ohio Conference is sound. We are still okay with Ohio Conference. We may share some concerns about the denomination, but let's put our emphasis into the conference. That's That won't cost you extra, okay? Anyways. We would like to see the Grove become a vital, active, and influential center of programming and outreach in West Liberty and beyond for young and old alike. Folks, we are just beginning to be able to see what options and what opportunities we can have in our community through the Grove. But let's keep open on that as we continue to see God's leading. We appreciate our blended style of worship and the music and so forth. And let's keep it up, and thank you. And one of the things I wanted to say also is, like Eli playing the piano here, I heard over and over again that we like the number of young people who are involved in the worship service, and let's expand it. So to the worship committee, I would say let's keep up a good thing and expand it. We want to continue being challenged in preaching, to live closer to God and faithful to Him, and maintain strong biblical teaching in all our Christian ed and Sunday school programs. We want to strengthen our practice of hospitality, and we're still trying to discern what all that might mean. But it's more than just simply inviting people to lunch on Sunday. It's that, but it's more than that. But it's expanding our fellowship times in the life of the congregation. Be that in activities or meals. Maybe we could, and I heard about, I think somebody told me about, you used to have a family life committee, right? Was it? I see heads nodding this way. Some few people said, why not think about sort of rejuvenating the family life committee and start focusing on building our own sense of community within our church? All right. We would like to see more people involved in small groups, in Bible study, in discipleship, and fellowship, and so forth. I have one more thing to say about for the future, but before I do that, I want to insert the fact, a few responses that I had as I was talking with you about your feelings about what you're going to miss about Pastor Dick no longer being with us. So let me just read those, and Dick has already gotten a copy of this, so he knows this. I talked with him Friday, and I shared this with him. So I wanted to share it with him before I shared with you. We miss his strong involvement in the community. He was an outstanding presence and a face for Oak Grove Church. He made many very significant contributions in his work as chaplain in the fire department. We appreciate his excellent pastoral care for anyone who had a crisis or special needs. We appreciated his sound biblical preaching and exemplary lifestyle of humility, faith, and commitment. We appreciated his calm and non-anxious approach to crisis and his low-key type of leadership. When I told him that, he said, well, he said, looks how I guess I fooled them, didn't I? No, he was just teasing. Anyways, he appreciated hearing that because he said he didn't always feel so non-anxious, but he was sure good at displaying that. His great organizational skill and ability, we appreciate his details, and all the time we are discovering more and more things. Well, Dick did it, but when Dick is not here, well, somebody else got to pick it up and run with it. We appreciate his humor both in and out of the pulpit, and we appreciate his encouraging friendship with so many. So many of you have said he was such a close friend. He was easy to talk with and easy to be a friend with. So these are all things that we join in giving honor to Dick, and collectively we say thanks, Pastor Dick, for your 16 years of faithful leadership at Oak Grove Mennonite Church. And his impact on the congregation has been important and valued. And so I think it's important, that's why I shared this with him, that he knows that expression of appreciation. Now, back to one more thing that I want to say for the future. And that is, we would like to see a more active and vital prayer ministry within our congregation. I totally support that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take a step this morning. I didn't check this out with the elders, so I hope, elders, if there's a problem with this, you'll tell me about it. I, this morning, want to say I would like to start some kind of an organized prayer ministry within the congregation, and I don't know exactly what that may look like. But all I know is that it will involve some key people who feel their gift is to be able to pray and be an interceder for those in the congregation and the community and the needs and so forth. How this is organized, I don't know. I'm content. Let's start with the idea and let's develop it as we go along. But it would probably be some kind of a group or a person who would centralize prayer concerns, and then we could, by prayer or by email or texting or whatever, let others in the congregation know, and we can have people praying, especially during this transition time. Folks, this summer and fall is going to be important as we appoint a search committee and as they start working. So I'm going out on a limb and saying, if you have an interest in that, in somehow being part of developing an organized, intentional prayer ministry in the congregation, please be in touch with me. Give it to me in writing, because I forget if you just say to me, put a note in my box or something, and let me know that you're interested, and we'll follow through and try and get something like that organized. Let's pray. Dear God, you have been so wonderful to us at Oak Grove Congregation. You have blessed us with so many, many wonderful people and experiences. You have been a part of the life and the history of Oak Grove Church, and I pray, God, that will continue. And as we consider together what it is that you would have us to be, a direction to be heading in, I pray, oh God, for your Spirit to guide us. Help us now in the Sunday school discussion and in through the weeks ahead, as we look forward also to the retreat and talking about looking ahead and who we want to become as we sense your leading. I pray, God, your blessing upon this whole process, for I pray it in your name. Amen.